this is Tim Hunzi, partner of Parallel Music Publishing and board member of the Nashville Association of Independent Music Publishers. Thanks for listening to the Nashville Pubcast. This episode of Nashville Pubcast, we have Luke Laird, hit songwriter and partner with his wife Beth of Creative Nation. We chat about his journey from successful songwriter to successful song publisher.
I moved to Nashville to be a songwriter. I came down here in 1997, went to MTSU. I wanted to be a songwriter. So I was writing songs while I was, not in class, always just writing songs by myself. And then there's a writer here in town named Bill Luther, and he was from my hometown. I didn't know him growing up, but my family knew him and his family and stuff like that. We actually went to a cookout at his house, like when my parents were in town. He's like, I know you write songs. He was super nice. And he said, play me something. So I played him something. He said, play me something else. And so he called like the next day, and he's like, hey, I think you're really good. I actually think you're good enough to get a draw somewhere. So for me being a songwriter, like for someone who's established like that to say that, that really meant a lot. And I was super excited. And all these publishers were super great. No one offered me a deal, but they were all really nice. And they kind of left the door open, like if I had new stuff. So fast forward, I graduate college, MTSU in 2001. Still didn't have any publishing deal offers, so I obviously had to get a job. I got a job working on the road for Brooks and Dunn. I'd go on the road for the weekends. When I'd come back in, I was doing open mic writers' nights out at the Broken Spoke every Monday.
That was the place, man.
It was, man. I used to play with, Joel Shoemake, Matt Ramsey, the Fleener Brothers, all those guys.
Was Wallen still playing
Chris
there?
Wallen was there. He and Tony Lane were there every
Reese
every
Wilson
night.
Reese. Posted up. Yeah, he wrote for us. He lived there, basically.
He always played 21 and 17. I was like, that song is so good.
It's a great song.
But it was such a good, just good to be around those amazing writers and really challenge me. So I get out of school in December of 2001, and Chris, it was in the summer, Chris Oglesby offered me a publishing deal. It was my first publishing deal offer, and I was super excited. That deal finally got done in like November of that year. And so that's how I got my first deal, November of 2002.
Then all of a sudden, you got married, and then you guys together decided to open Creative Nation and get into the publishing. But I'm really intrigued. Like, I'm always intrigued when a writer decides to make that leap. What inspired you to decide you wanted to do that?
I mean, probably a few different things. First of all, I know you don't want me to say this, but to be completely honest, I've seen lots of writers go off and start their own thing. You know, once they have some hits, get success, then you're like, well, I can do this, you know. And some can, but the majority of us writers aren't wired to run and operate a business and be creative at the same time. So I know that what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And I think my time is best spent in the studio and writing songs. However, I do have an interest in new songwriters, and I'm a fan of music. So I'm always like listening to what's the next thing, or I don't just listen to my own songs. I love hearing the what's the new fresh thing. So Beth and I were married. We had always talked about, she'd been at BMI for 5 years, and I think we were just both at a place where we just felt like, if we're going to try it, we didn't have any kids yet, let's try this now. She is very smart. I mean, she learned the music business faster in 6 months being a receptionist than I did in 4.5 years going to college for it. So
I will testify. I call her for advice all the time.
She just has that gift. She really does. But she's also knows songs. And I'm not just saying that because she's my wife, because if she didn't, it would be really hard, you know? and she doesn't just love everything that I do. That's why I really don't usually play it for her. I just like email the songs like, hey, you don't want to hear, if you're a writer, you don't want to hear too much. That sucks. But I've had enough constructive criticism. But we really, I feel like, are a great team, because I do feel like I have my finger on the pulse of like, what's next, as far as like trends and like creatively. Right. And so it's kind of like that perfect team. And what we do really complements one another. So, I mean, I've enjoyed it just, you know, working with new artists and new writers.
Right. So you kind of see it's a great balance for you and having a partner with Beth that absolutely can do the business. And then, but you are involved in the sense that you help on the creative side and
oh, absolutely. And you know, any writer that we sign, I definitely do the meeting and everything because, I mean, you know, like being a small company, you have to be very picky. I mean, there's some great writers that just wouldn't work well at our company and, you know, that could probably make a lot of money for the company, but we're literally just in a small space. So you have to think of the different personalities between writers and the employees, and all those things kind of come into play. And so that's been a learning curve, but it's been fun too, because you learn a lot about yourself as well.
One of my favorite questions to ask people, I always learn something. Like, what is it that tends to like make you go, I need that writer. I need to work with that. Everybody usually has a unique answer to that.
You know, for me, honestly, every single songwriter that we've signed, they have songs that I mean, I just keep it super simple. It's they have songs that I wished I had written.
And
it's always like, man, I never thought of something that way. So For me, it's just I just dumb it down to like I wished I could write those kind of songs, and then of course you have to go in further into, you know, how many songs do they write? You know, do they just have one song, or can you tell that they're like,
was there five writers on it? Was it really them?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of like a, you know, I use that as a gauge.
Do you write with them before you sign them sometimes, or do you?
Ideally, yes. Because honestly, that's another benefit of being a writer. Like, if I get in the room with someone, I can tell pretty quick, you know, if this is going to work. Even if they're not, because honestly, some of the writers we have, I don't write a lot with. You know, they may have their own thing going, or, you know, everybody has, you know, their own schedule, but I can tell pretty quickly what somebody's bringing to the table.
One of my favorites, I learned from Jeff. He always said, I just think they have something to say, particularly artist writers. He just, one of the things that always stuck with me is I asked him, like, why? What made you want to sign? It was Amy Daly back in the day. He goes, I just know she's got something to say and I want to be a part of it. And for me, also, I'm more like you. I remember it was Bobby Pinson. He had a song, it was about a young man and an old man sitting at a bar, and he's talking about leaving. And all I remember was the old man's response, well, you got to try going back. That was the hook. And I'm thinking, holy crap, that's brilliant at the time. I still have that cassette at my house, actually,
awesome.
To this day. But Bobby is one of the most brilliant lyric guys. There was other things, but there was that one song I went, that right there makes me want to sign that guy. And
sometimes, like, as a brand new writer, you can tell it's just in the way they turn a couple lines. They may not even have it all together yet, but you can just tell, wow, their brain is not, they're on a little different plane here than just, you know, putting a song together.
Does that excite you when you start working with these young guys? Maybe, like you said, it's not necessarily writing, but they're in the company, you hear something that's side. Does that just kind of inspire you as well as a writer?
Absolutely. And so that's why I love having new writer. I mean, I also, some of my favorite writers that have been doing this for a long time, I've seen what they've done, and it's not just write with your same people. It's they're always trying, like a Craig Wiseman. I mean, he's always writing with the new, I'm not delusional to think that I'm always going to have my finger on the pulse of what's the freshest thing is. I mean, I just turned 40 years old. I'm fully aware.
So I'll be 50 in July, bro.
I want to be part of that thinking, like, what is, like, someone who's 25 who was, or 21 who was out at the bar last night, like, I can't necessarily relate. I mean, I can, but it's getting further and further away.
Yeah.
So you're just trying to, you know, keep in there.
I know at Creative Nation, you guys definitely have your staff of writers, but you've mm-hmm. definitely started investing heavily into the artists as well. Is yeah. Was that? I'm sure you thought that out, but is that something you would continue to want to do? And it's definitely a lot of work.
It is. Yes, we're not just trying to sign a bunch of artists. We have to be passionate about it because, I mean, we know what the odds are. And, saying that, I'm like, why do we do this again?
But I ask myself that on the daily.
But we do, we just have to, with the artist thing, for sure. I mean, and writers, but the artist, you have to be passionate because, especially with a new artist, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time and energy. So, when we sign an artist, we really, Beth and I have to be fully in, like we really believe in this. And then we also want our team to, we're not going to make them believe in something, but we want to know that they're on board as well. So
I know right now you have Cassie Ashton and you have Steve Moakler. Craig, is there another mm-hmm. artist over there that I'm forgetting?
Yeah, we have Muscadine Bloodline, who's
right.
a duo.
I knew there was somebody
and
else.
Then a new guy named Alec Bailey.
Oh, that kid is super talented. Yeah, you guys have some talent over there.
We do. I'm just trying to hang on.
And all very different, I will add.
That's the thing.
Eclectic
that,
group.
They are all over the board, but they are all unique individuals. It's a lot of fun.
Growing pains are tough, and I know that you guys have had some great success. And do you look to the future and go, here's what we need to do for growth, or do you just mostly focus on the day-to-day of like just writing those hits to help?
Well, honestly, we have a great business manager, so we'll do a meeting with her every, quarter.
You can give her a shout-out for some of it.
Kella Stevenson. She's amazing. Yeah. But Beth is definitely a visionary and sees big picture. I'm more kind of like I'm that way as well, but more like I'm more like baby steps or day to day.
Yeah.
So it's different. Like we know, if you get too far ahead of yourself, I mean, this business changes so fast. I mean, definitely when we started, we weren't thinking we're going to sign a bunch of artists.
Right.
But it just wasn't. We just thought we'll sign songwriters. We love songwriters, and it's just kind of turned into that. So, and we also don't, I think, have these aspirations to be this big company. At this point, like, we just love getting to do what we're doing, and we just want to be a high quality company. With quality products, so quality songwriters, quality songs first and foremost, and artists as well. And so we're just kind of, as far as the growth goes, we kind of take it day by day. And yes, it may end up being a lot bigger, or we may end up being smaller than we are right now, and that's okay. We don't have, I don't think we're trying to be, big machine or something like that, which there's right. nothing wrong with that. But like, we also know with growth comes more responsibility. Yeah. So that's always a balancing act.
And you have a family, and you've got these two
absolutely.
Great boys that are the funniest on Instagram. Your kids have more personality.
And we do value our personal lives and our family,
There's a sacrifice,
first and foremost,
right?
Absolutely.
And I'm with you. As older I've gotten, at 50, I realize some of the sacrifice I made as a guy that's owned a business mm-hmm. and you sacrifice time. And even when you're at home and your brain's like on your business
absolutely.
And all that, it's a game to learn. So on that,
that's
as
so
a creative
true.
As well, is it hard, like now that you approach a day, like I'm sure, like you mentioned, you just started writing and you wrote songs and you wanted to write songs. Do you look at things differently as a business owner on like opportunities that you need to do or take as far as writing? Like, mm-hmm. well, I obviously need to probably write more with Little Big Town, or do you try like, well, I still want to do this with these young writers, but I know mm-hmm. if I have the option, I probably should write with Artist A or mm-hmm. whatnot. Does that occur, or do you just still go with your gut in general?
I do think about it. One of the great things about being where I am in my career, I actually feel okay about saying no to things. And I'm also where I could miss out on stuff as well. But I don't have that fear of missing out thing as much, I feel like, as some people. I know kind of what artists I could probably work well with, and then others that may be great artists, I just know that it's probably not my thing, so maybe I should just spend more time on, you know, this thing over here. And I also know, you know, speaking of sacrifices and that, you know, nowadays a lot of writers go out on the road with artists, and that's a lot of times how you get cuts. I've kind of consciously chosen to not do that a lot, just because, you know, first of all, I can afford to, because now that I do get opportunities with artists in town, I don't, you know, as a new writer, you kind of just have to do what you can do.
Amen.
And I admire that, because I did that as well. But I kind of pick and choose when I go out on the road. It's just, you know, when you have kids, like, you just, when I'm out there, I feel like, man, I'm really missing out. But I do definitely weigh the working with established artists as well as new artists. I don't write with every single new artist, just because you just can't. There's a zillion of them, and
they
just
never
have to
stop either. By the way, well, it just keeps coming.
I know. So then that's when it comes into play with kind of like your instinct. Well, I'm kind of like betting on, like, I like what this person does, and I've nailed it before, and I've missed it a lot of times as well. So,
well, my rule with any writer, successful or up and coming writer that I'm working with, when I put them in, particularly speaking directly with artists, and sometimes with co-writers as well, obviously, but with artists, I'm like, if you love it, put your time in.
Yeah,
you know, if it's worth it, even if nothing ends up happening. But if you enjoyed it, it's better to do that.
Absolutely.
Than getting in with something, even though it may be more of a guarantee, even though there's no guarantees in our business.
No.
Because you can, life's too short, man.
I mean, it really is. Like, I, you know, a couple of years ago when John Party, he put his first album out, and I was like, I heard it. I'd never got to write with him, and I was such a huge fan of, like, his sound and what he did and everything. And that's one artist I really seeked out. I'm like, I told Beth, if there's any way you can get me in there with him, like, I just like what he does, and I know I can get into that zone. Like, it comes pretty natural to me. So that for me was like a good example of something that, you know, paid off. You know, I put the time in, and, you know, we, you know, wrote a hit, and we're writing a lot now, and I really enjoy it, you know, working with an artist who I'm like a fan of their music. You know, I'm a legitimate fan. If I had zero cuts on there, I wear that record out, you know.
I know you're like me, a faithful man, that, you know, to be able to give back, and it's a mentorship of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, you apprentice with these guys, and you mentioned meeting with, I bet you still have relationships with most of the publishers you met with that are still in the business.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Think most them are, and
no,
and that's just a cool thing.
Yeah, I do, and you know, especially being in Nashville, that's what's just so cool about being in this town. I mean, the publishing community, the, you know, songwriting community, it's really tight. Just the Nashville music business in general. But yeah, I mean, I've had the opportunity to work with Hall of Fame songwriters. I mean, I can just have their numbers in my phone, and I can go to coffee with them, and then, like, brand new superstars. It's the most surreal
thing.
Snoop
Dogg, don't forget Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
you got to hang with Snoop that time.
I don't have his number, but he's probably had a couple different phones by then.
Yeah, anyways. Sure. That one always got me. I was a little jealous about the Snoop Dogg thing, for sure, because I also like the hip hop as well.
Oh, man.
Thanks for listening to the Nashville AIMP Pubcast. For more information, check out AIMP.org or follow us at Nashville AIMP on Instagram. The Nashville AIMP would like to give a shout out to our sponsors, Jamber and Sound Exchange. Jamber wants to know if you're looking for an easier way to capture song splits at the point of creation and organizing your catalog. Jamber is our podcast sponsor, and they are offering listeners a first look at their songwriter and publisher apps that allow songwriters to collaborate when inspiration strikes. Go to jamber.com/AIMP to sign up today. Sound Exchange develops business solutions for the entire music industry. They collect and distribute royalties on behalf of more than 155,000 recording artists, master right owners, and music publishers. Sound Exchange have paid out more than $5 billion in royalties. SX Works serves the licensing administration needs of music publishers around the world and operates CMRRA,
which represents music publishers and administers mechanical rights for the majority of songs recorded, sold, and broadcast in Canada. We appreciate you listening to the Nashville Pubcast. Stay tuned for an all-new episode next week.